Well, I want to just continue in the heart of worship for just a moment. I was overwhelmed with the sense that we have plenty of folks here this morning who are feeling a little bit overwhelmed with some impossible situations. And we know this theologically, but sometimes we just got to declare it in the spirit that there's no such thing as impossible situations.
Amen.
Not with God. We don't allow them to captivate our minds by saying, yeah, this is impossible. This is never going to happen. This change that needs to take place, it can't happen because the situation is so hard. We don't let that stand because our God is greater than that.
Amen.
So I just want to take a moment. If we could just close our eyes. And for those of us who have that weight on us this morning, that, oh my goodness, this situation is so heavy, it's so burdensome, it's so hard, and there hasn't been change, let's just take that before the Lord. Imagine it right now. Imagine like you're giving it, handing it over to God. Here we stand, Lord. You know what these situations are. And we just speak to them right now in the name of Jesus. And God, we pray for your power. God, we pray for your might. We know that it's not by our strength or our might, but it's by the power of your Spirit. And so I just speak to those walls that have been built up and where the enemy wants us to believe that those walls aren't moving. Oh, but you're a wrecking ball. I just envision you knocking through that wall to sicknesses, to diseases, to relationships, to our futures. There's nothing that can stand in the way of what you want to do because you are the sovereign God. So situations bow down in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you breathe fresh hope this morning. Fresh hope. As we set our eyes upon you. The word says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything else will fall into place. So Lord, here we are. We set our minds to you, to your kingdom, to your righteousness. Breathe hope now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Anyone feel the weight lift?
Amen.
A little bit. I feel it. Well, happy Freedom Weekend. It's fun to celebrate our freedom that we have to worship Jesus in the land that we are in. The freedom, of Jesus, now in relationship with Him, from striving, we can just be. We can be us. It's pretty cool. It's pretty rad. I didn't even realize this till this very moment, but you were talking about thankfulness. And I had set up to start my message with just giving some gratitude. I'm grateful that we get to be a congregation of Mill Creek Four Square Church. They have poured into us with Pastor Don before me, with sending me here, with helping us financially, and with the teachers coming over when they have on occasion. And so we had Pastor Chris with us a couple weeks ago, and I'm grateful for... He's a great communicator, yeah?
Yeah.
He is. And he's passionate about the Word of God. Grateful for him. I'm grateful for the resident gifts among us, the spiritual gifts. You know, I believe as I look across the congregation this morning, I believe that each one of you has spiritual gifts that God is empowering within you. And part of my hope, part of my dream, when I envision what I want to happen here at our church, is for me and us to be able to see those spiritual gifts and identify those spiritual gifts that the Lord is empowering within you and help you to cultivate them and then see them released, both inside these walls and outside of these walls, so that we would transform the world around us for Jesus. That's just a part of my dream. Would you dream with me? Would you dream with me? I'm grateful for the gifts that are resident here within us. We had the pleasure of having Chris Nixon share with us. Great teacher. There's a prophetic that's always involved in what she teaches and what she speaks. So I'm grateful for the way that you're able to come into a situation and identify the things that have been taught already, and identify where we're going and where we're at as a church and what the Lord is doing, and somehow put all of that together in a message that stirs us. I'm grateful for your submission to the Lord and for the gifting that's in you. Thank you. And I'm grateful for you guys for being so full of grace and allowing me to have a vacation. Thank you. You know, rest is a good thing. I think some of us need to hear that this morning. Rest is a good thing. Did you know that God rested? He rested. And I had some conversations recently with some ministry leaders who didn't feel like they were able to leave their church for vacation because, you know, they just felt like that wasn't available. It wasn't okay. And I got to speak some life into those situations. But it just made me all the more grateful that you guys allow me to have vacation rest. And I just, you know, I mean, you may be able to tell this morning, but I've got a little bit more pep in my step. That's what happens when I rest. So grateful that you guys would allow me to have that rest. This morning, we're going to be wrapping up our message series entitled Empowered, the Baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is week number 5, part number 5. And we're talking about this. We're talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit and being baptized by the Holy Spirit because, well, this is who we are. This is a big part of who we are. As a part of a four-square church, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 squares. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our soon incoming King. Someone say he's coming back.
He's coming back.
He's coming back. And Jesus is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit. As a part of South Everett Foursquare, a congregation of Mill Creek Foursquare Church, it's a part of our mission that we are and we make disciples of Jesus who experience a supernatural lifestyle in the Holy Spirit. And as we've been talking about just this fresh infusion of mission within each of our veins, it's like I just want to hook us up to a machine that is pumping in mission. Let's transform the world around us, right? Extend the gospel of Jesus to our families, our neighborhoods, our workplace, our world, and transform Casino Road for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And we've been just getting this passion about it, but the only way to actually do this is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be empowered by God to actually reach the people and do what needs to be done. That's kind of what we have been talking about. We looked at this promise, right? This promise of what was going to take place. We looked at it through the Old Testament, through how God wants His people to lead. And God wants people to be His people. And in order to get people to be His people, God is empowering people to lead people to be His people. That's a lot of people. We are the people. We the people. Yeah. And this promise was that the Holy Spirit would come upon us and give us the strength to be able to do these things. The strength to be able to reconcile a world to God. So that those who are far off from God could be made close. And by the empowerment of the Spirit, this is actually happening. So we saw that this was only available for the leaders at one point. The leaders of God's people. But that someday it would be available to every person who is a child of God. And we saw that that promise has now been made available to all of us if we want it. So today, I want to wrap up this conversation. And I don't know if you can see it. It's right here. It's big. It's got a trunk and giant ears. It's this big elephant in the room. As we talk about being empowered in the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you spend time and read through the different times when baptism in the Holy Spirit is actually talked about, there's this thing that is mentioned. Do we know what we're talking about? Know what I'm talking about? We're talking about speaking in tongues.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
Talking about speaking in tongues. And it happens time and time again when it talks about, when the Bible talks about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Chris opened this conversation up last week as a perfect segue into where we're going this morning. So again, thank you. I think that's three thank yous in one service. Grateful for you. And I just want to say this. I'll address the funny feelings that this brings up here in just a moment. But, you know, the church, Big C Church, all across the globe, in talking about speaking in tongues, has in the past done a not so great job of portraying it. And kind of what has happened has been this. If you don't speak in tongues, you can't be a Christian. That's how people have felt. And I just want to say, that's not what I believe. Okay? This what we're talking about here is not, I'm a better Christian than you because I speak in tongues. That's not at all what's taking place here. Okay? But here's what I do want to happen this morning. I just want to come to God the same way we've been coming to God in this message series and say, God, whatever you want for me, I want that. And so let's just come to God right now. Father, I lay myself down at your feet this morning. I just say, use me fully and completely. Would you have all of me? Would you use me as an instrument of righteousness? Would you get rid of anything in me that's getting in the way of the fullness of what you have for me? And I pray that for myself. I pray that for everyone else in here. We just submit to you, God. We submit to your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, for speaking in tongues, for some people, speaking in tongues is a normal thing. We were raised in it. We've seen it growing up. We've read about it in the Bible, and it's just normal. For others of us, we've read about it in the Bible, and then we never have seen it. For some of us, it's just kind of, it's different. It's okay. It just is what it is. For some of us, it's a requirement to be Christian. But for all of us, we need to just get to this point of recognizing that there are some feelings that come with this. So I just want to help you with a life skill here real quick. You know, life skills was a class when I was in middle school, high school, all these eons ago. A couple of chuckles, right? Okay, you're like, I don't know if that's supposed to be funny, but I thought it was funny. in this life skills class, they taught us these different life skills, these skills that would help you in life, like cooking, right? Apparently, you need to know how to cook when you grow up, outside of just pizza. And so that's kind of what I want to help you with this morning. The life skill that every Christian needs to have is this. We identify our feelings, and then we use God's word as a filter for those feelings. Because this is God's word. Did you know that if you want to be complete, this is the manual for that? That's what the word of God says. If you want to be equipped for every single good work, that's what this is. So this morning, as we would be talking about speaking in tongues, just identify, what does that make you feel? Does that make you feel like, oh, that's weird? Does that make you feel like, yes, let's do this? What does that make you feel? And as you would identify that, let's just address it with Scripture, what the Bible says. Okay? I'll let you do that in the background as I'm sharing some of this message this morning. For me, I grew up in what I would identify now as a cult-like group. And it was a King James Bible only. I actually didn't realize that there was anything outside of the King James Bible. There wasn't belief in the Trinity, but what there was belief in was speaking in tongues. So it was modeled for me. So I saw my parents speak in tongues. I saw people in our church group speak in tongues. And then eventually I was taught to speak in tongues. And then I was brought into a room where I then began to articulate speaking in tongues by copying what I had heard from other people. And then shortly after that, I we left this church group, and I began kind of just living my own life. So the story that you guys have heard, getting into drugs and violence and ending up in jail and encountering God and having my life completely transformed, getting baptized. And when I was water baptized, I was also baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I recognize for some people, when they're water baptized, it doesn't happen that they're baptized in the Holy Spirit till sometime later. But when I was baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit, I began speaking in tongues, and it was just a natural thing. It just happened. I was just praising God and just so excited because God had made himself real. And I recognized that I now get to be in relationship with the creator of everything and the one true way to peace, which I desperately, desperately wanted. And so I was just worshiping. And now it wasn't this articulated verbiage that I had heard my parents and these other church leaders do, but it was just genuine. And I was like, wow. Now, coming out of a church group like that, that had so many things twisted, what I had to do was tear everything down and kind of rebuild the framework. Because I was skeptical about everything now, right? I was skeptical about speaking in tongues, even though it was just naturally happening. I didn't quite understand it. So I had to rebuild everything. So I began listening to some teachers of the Bible that that had greatly benefited my brother. So I listened to every single teaching by John Piper and Mark Driscoll that was available at the time. And I didn't just listen to the messages once. I listened to them like at least three times. I would listen to them once to get the general message. I would listen to them twice to get every single scripture reference that was even thrown out there. Even if I thought it was scripture, I'd write it down, then I'd try and find it. And then I'd go and study all of those scriptures. And then the third time, I'd listen to it again to see how I might change it if I were to share it with somebody. This is all not knowing that I was going to be up here teaching the Bible someday. And then I began going through systematic theology books and just like combing through, I need to rebuild everything. And for me, speaking in tongues was kind of a hot button issue. Like, I need to know what the Bible says about this because this is odd. It's different. It's completely supernatural, right? I can't do this on my own. I'm not just making up words to speak. This is kind of blowing my mind right now. So I need to figure it out. And what I figured out was this, that since the very day that the Church of Christ was built and started on the day of Pentecost, people were speaking in tongues. Amen. So we can all at least identify this, that if you believe that this is God's word, that speaking in tongues was at least a thing. There's some common ground across all beliefs within the Christian community. That at least was a thing. But I want to kind of show you that it was a norm within the early church. It was a norm. So we see that the day of Pentecost, and Jesus walked with these disciples, and he walked in discipleship, and he identified these fishers, right? I've been doing some fishing lately. Haven't caught much here in Washington, at least. Florida is a different story, but I'll brag about that later. These guys were fishing, and Jesus would go, "Hey, follow me." And he began to teach them of what it looks like to live in life in the kingdom of God. And then at the end of his life, after he was crucified, after he was laid in the grave, after that stone was rolled away, and after Jesus rose again, he stood there with the disciples and said, "I want you to go and do this whole process of discipleship. Go and do that again with other people. But here's the key. Don't go and do that until you've received this promise." Right? Don't go and do that until you've reached the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so they did exactly that. They waited in Jerusalem. They're sitting in this upper room, 120 of them, praying to God, "God, would you pour out this promise that's been talked about for so long and Jesus told us to wait for? Let's wait for this promise." And they did. And the Holy Spirit was poured out. And as the Spirit was poured out, they began to speak in tongues. They began to speak in tongues. And there was this festival going on in Jerusalem at the time, and people were hearing these guys speaking in tongues. These people who were in the festival were from all over the area, right? They began, they spoke a whole bunch of different languages. And these guys who were in the upper room, who hadn't traveled to these regions, who would have no way of speaking these languages, the Holy Spirit came upon them and allowed them to speak in these languages or speak in these tongues. And as they were speaking these praises of God. It'd be like me standing up here and waiting for the promise of God, waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on me. And you guys speak German and Russian and Tagalog and Japanese and Cantonese. And I begin speaking in this language that I don't understand. But as I'm speaking it, in your language, right? And I'm saying the praises of God, right? So speaking in tongues was there at the very beginning of the church, and it didn't go anywhere. I want to throw this in there. Mark 16:17. Jesus actually spoke in tongues. He said, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak in new tongues." Jesus said this was going to happen. And then it happened in Acts chapter 2. Now, one of the pretty major beliefs that I've come across and something that I've had to wrestle through a little bit was the concept that speaking in tongues was just supposed to be for the development of this church there in the beginning. And so I began studying and looking at dates and different timetables. And then we get to Acts chapter 10. This is 7 years after the day of Pentecost, as God now wants to continue to pour out His Spirit now onto the Gentiles, not just the Jews. And so He makes this cool God meeting, I like to call him, where God speaks to Peter and He speaks to this guy who's Cornelius and He causes them to cross paths. And so Peter is preaching the good news, the gospel of Jesus, to these Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. It says that while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. The believers from among the circumcised, the Jews, who had come with Peter, they were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was now poured out and now made available on the Gentiles. This is a little exciting for me because I'm not Jewish. Now this is available to people like us. That's pretty cool. Verse 46, "For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God." And then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who had received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They asked him to remain there for some days. So this kind of, for me, it paints a nice picture for how salvation works and baptism and all of these. And it frames up my belief system quite well. That we have the Holy Spirit with us, every single one of us. Even if you don't want the Holy Spirit with you, He's with you. He is here in this world and He's working to draw us unto Him. Right? He's drawing us unto God. He is convicting or convincing the world of the truth of Jesus Christ. And at some point when we hear this gospel message, the Holy Spirit is working within us. And then we give our lives to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And then we have the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come on us and empower us to change the world. That's what's happening right here. Amen. Let me hear that again.
Hallelujah.
Oh man, I just poured some fuel on the fire. Thank you for that. Thank you. Made me lose my spot. Say it again. So, that was 7 years after the day of Pentecost. All right. So check this out. 24 years after the day of Pentecost. In 54 AD, a man named Paul, having this crazy, awesome encounter. If you guys haven't read about this encounter that Paul had with God, make sure you guys read about that in Acts 8 and 9. Study that up. It's pretty radical. But this guy gets on fire for God, ends up traveling to a place called Ephesus, goes there, starts praying for people, and the Holy Spirit comes on them, and they speak in tongues. 24 years after the fact. And this happened in Corinth. And in Thessalonica, This was the norm for the early church. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. This is the norm. So here's the question, and it's another hiccup that I've kind of had in my studying and working through. When is this supposed to stop? When is speaking in tongues supposed to cease? We have a studied one amongst us. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. So the effectiveness of these spiritual gifts, which are being talked about, will come to an end. And the question is, have we reached that time? Have we reached that point? So what's being talked about here? Because I hate to just bring up scripture and then drop it on you and be like, ha, see, it proved it. Although that may be kind of cool too. But he's talking about prophecies and tongues and knowledge. What Paul had just done, and we'll take a little bit of a look at this in just a little bit, but he just laid out to the Corinthians these spiritual gifts, words of knowledge, words of prophecy, and speaking in tongues. He just listed these as spiritual gifts. So he's referring to all of these spiritual gifts. There will be a time when they are no longer effective and no longer needed. But when is that time? Let's read on. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Right? Because I haven't heard a prophet say everything exactly to the T, exactly how it's going to be outside of, I mean, God himself, who sees in whole, by the way. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. So he's talking about seasons, right? I was a child, I grew up, and now I'm a man. There's two distinct seasons. The perfect comes, and the partial will pass away. Verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So when is this supposed to end? When the perfect comes. When is this supposed to end? When we see face to face. What are we talking about? We're talking about the coming of Jesus. When who's perfect, by the way? Jesus. Right? And we'll see him face to face. That's when this will cease. I'll throw this in for good measure. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:39. Paul, by the way, is writing to a church who has misused the gift of speaking in tongues. This is a very much a corrective towards their church. And he says this. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, but do not forbid speaking in tongues. Don't forbid it. There's a lot of correction and a lot of ways that you do need to live within when we're talking about speaking in tongues. But don't forbid them. Speaking in tongues was the norm for the early church. And my belief is that it should be the norm for the church, Big C Church, all the believers of Christ today. It was the norm and it should be the norm. So what are these tongues that we're talking about? What are these speaking in tongues, these languages that we've talked about? We've seen in Acts 2 already that one of the ways that speaking in tongues manifests itself, or the way that it looks, I didn't mean to use that word because I'm going to use it specifically later. So erase that from your memory. Beep, 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 beep. We saw them in the upper room, the disciples in the upper room, and they are praying and waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, and the Holy Spirit comes on or upon them. They're able to speak in these languages now, and people actually hear and understand what they're saying. Right? So what this is God enabling these people to be able to speak in unknown languages, languages which they did not know and did not learn, but enable them to speak clearly in these other languages and actually talk about how awesome God is. So that's one of the ways that we see speaking in tongues. Let's learn a little bit more about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be camping in these few chapters here today. So if you have Bibles or smartphones or not so smartphones, you can turn to that. We'll also have the scriptures up on screen. Thanks, Zach. Starting in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking of the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. I'd just like to point out there the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right there. It's incredible. In case this wasn't clear, when people are doing things that are supernatural, it's of God. When people are living out these spiritual gifts, it's empowered by God. It's not like us being like, look how awesome I am. Look what I can do. It's not about us building ourselves up and trying to look awesome. It's all about God doing this within us. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So as we're talking about these spiritual gifts, we're talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon us and empowering us to reach the world around us. Okay. Now, these types of spiritual gifts that are being talked about here, these are manifestations of the Spirit. So that's the word I was trying to cover up earlier, manifestations. It's a funny word, yeah? Manifestations. It's not often used in common day vernacular. We don't often use this word manifestation. What manifestation is, if I'm manifesting myself here, what I'm doing is saying, here I am. You know that you know that you know that I am here right now. Here I am! Right? So that's what manifestation is. Rocking like a hurricane. Yeah, a couple chuckles there. I like that. And so that's what these gifts are being talked about right here. Manifestation gifts. These particular gifts are for the purpose of when the church gathers, that God would move in such a way that people would know that they know that they know that God is here right now. Amen. That's what these particular... There are different gifts for different purposes, but that's what these gifts actually are doing. They're manifestations of the Spirit, making God known here. And they're supposed to be... What's those two words at the end of verse 7? They're supposed to be used for the common good. Now, this is a big topic here. This is a huge topic within this section, that these gifts are supposed to be used for the common good. See, Paul is correcting the Corinthian church because they're using these spiritual gifts to kind of build themselves up, like, check me out, I'm awesome. And there's just all of this division happening. Some of them are talking about, oh yeah, I was baptized by Apollos and all of these different guys, and it's this battle to figure out who looks the coolest. Let's take a time out. If that happens to be your mindset, this is another place where we would pause and say, all right, what does the scripture say about me trying to look cool? Yeah, it's not about you. There's a guy named Todd White. He says that all the time. He's like, it's not about you. It's about God. It's about God. It's about making God famous. It's not about making you famous. It's all about Jesus, man. Here's what these manifestation gifts are. For to one is given through the Spirit an utterance of wisdom or words of wisdom. To another, an utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, this faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish. It's a fun word to try and say. Distinguish. Between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues or languages, and to another the interpretation of these tongues. These are all for the purpose of manifesting God's presence or making it known that God is here, and they're to be used for the common good of the body of Christ. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions each one as He individually wills. So here's where it, again, takes kind of this build myself up mentality out of it. Because if you don't have anything to do with your gifting, then you've got no place in saying, I'm awesome because of my gift. All it says is, God is awesome because He gave me this gift. See, it's not about me, it's about God. In verses 12 through 25, I'll let you study through those on your own in 1 Corinthians 12 there. But he essentially paints this picture of us being like a body, right? And the body has an arm and hands and fingers of the hands. And as God has given each of us these gifts, He's allowed us to function as one of these parts of the body. But what happens if I've got an arm without an elbow? Like, it makes it hard to dunk, right? It makes it hard to function. Here's kind of the point that I wanted to make out of this. If you are someone, and you are someone, if you are someone who's been given a spiritual gift, and I believe each one of you have been given a spiritual gift, if you're someone who's been given a spiritual gift and you're not exercising that gift, here's what's happening to the body of Christ. Here's what's happening to the church. We're not moving properly without you. I get this picture. I don't know. Do you guys ever watch, have you ever watched Space Jam? Yeah, okay. There's this scene where I think it's Daffy Duck where he grabs Michael Jordan's face and he goes, "We need your help!" with the slobbers and everything, right? That's kind of the vision I have for this. This is the point of these spiritual gifts. You need some skin in the game. We need to be thinking about and processing about, how has God empowered me to reach the world around me? How has God empowered me to benefit this body? Which body part am I, and how am I supposed to function? I'd love to walk with you guys through that as I kind of explained my heart for all of us to find out what these gifts are. Paul now finishes his writing in verse 27. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed the church in the church, first the apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues." And here's where we get to some interesting stuff. So really process through this with me. Verse 29, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way." Essentially, what is being said here is, does everyone speak in tongues in the context that we're just talking about? Does everyone speak in tongues? Does everyone have the gift of manifestational speaking in tongues for the benefit of the whole body to hear, to be interpreted? The answer here that he is saying is no. But here's what happens. I can't stop there. I can't stop there. Why? Because Paul doesn't stop there. Why? Because God doesn't stop there. The scripture continues on from this point to bring us further understanding. He goes on, and hold on to that thought. He goes on to chapter 13 to talk about love. And this is the heart of these gifts. He's essentially telling them, if you're using your spiritual gifts, here's how you want to use them, out of a place of love. You remember how I've talked about in the past how Paul often writes, and how Eastern storytelling is, they'll give you kind of one layer of it and then they'll paint on another layer. That's what's happening here. He told them to use the spiritual gifts for the common good, for the benefit of the whole church. But everyone's got to be thinking about, okay, so what does that actually look like? Here's how he depicts it. It's supposed to be done out of love. So the question is, if I'm using these gifts that God has placed in me, am I using them out of envy for another person or out of envy for someone else's gifts? Am I using them in patience? Am I using them in an arrogant way? Like, boom, you're healed. Check that out. Right? Boom, you're healed. Another one. Check that one up for me, right? Am I using these for my own motives? Am I using these gifts because I'm irritated or resentful at someone? Am I using these gifts to build up myself or build up the body? Let's keep going. 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. That word has stuck out to me for a long time. Earnestly desire. There's a desiring where we can sit and say, I desire a Egg McMuffin because I saw a wrapper in the trash earlier. And, you know, I just desire that. But if I earnestly desire one of those, I'm about to leave right now and go get one. Right? There is some action that comes along with earnestly desiring spiritual gifts or earnestly desiring anything. That's what he's saying here. There's some action for you to do, folks. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one speaks in a tongue. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Okay, process through this one. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Okay, so let's do a timeout. We had just seen in the book of Acts how when they were speaking in tongues, they were speaking to man, and people did understand them. So is Paul contradicting the Scriptures? Are the Scriptures contradicting themselves? We'll come back to that in a moment. Verse 3, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. For the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. Verse 5, now I want you all to speak in tongues. I want you all to speak in tongues. But even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. This phrase gets me. I want you all to speak in tongues. So, Paul, on the other side of this chapter, right? We've got two chapters on spiritual gifts, sandwiched in the middle with love. Right? This is how everything is supposed to flow through. And he had just got done saying essentially that not everyone speaks in tongues. So why would Paul say not everyone can speak in tongues, but I want you to all speak in tongues? Right? There's a couple things going on here, and I want to give you my explanation because here's my bent. I don't believe that the Bible contradicts itself. I don't believe that God's word contradicts itself. So here's what I believe. I believe that there's a public gift of speaking in tongues, a manifestational gift of speaking in tongues, where people are gifted by the Holy Spirit coming on them, and they're able to speak in other languages, which is meant to be for the body of believers. And as that takes place, there will be someone there who has the gift of interpretation so that the whole church can be benefited by it. But does everybody have that gift? No. God gives those that gift to people who he wills to have that. But I believe there's also a private grace. And grace is unmerited favor, right? It's not something you deserve, but it's something that God wants you to have. And I believe that that is the truth for speaking in tongues. As a private grace, that God makes that available for us for the purpose of intimacy, for the purpose of closeness, for the purpose of building oneself up, as Paul just said. As Chris said last week, it is perfect prayer. When I don't know what to pray, God gives me the ability to speak in tongues. It's used as an aspect of worship, of worshiping God. In my darkest moments, when I walk in a sinful path and I feel like I have failed before God. And we've talked about this before, when the enemy comes in and says, you're not worth it. You're not any good. In those moments, here's what I do. I come to God and I start speaking in tongues. Because what does that say to me? That reminds me that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And if the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, that means there is a seal on me that God says, that one is mine. That one is mine. And that's what he says about each of you. You're mine. Amen. You're mine. So in those moments, and I speak in tongues, I remind myself, no, that's a lie of the enemy, that I don't belong, that I'm condemned, that I'm not fit for dwelling in, because this is evidence that the Holy Spirit lives in me and I am saved. Amen. And I'm in true relationship with God. It's available for all who seek it. A few weeks back, I made this statement that intimacy should never be divorced from power. Intimacy should never be divorced from power. They should never be separated. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is a baptism of power. This is what we've been talking about. We want to transform the world around us. We want to see the gangs leave, the violence end, the drugs ended, the prostitution ended. We want to see the world transformed around us, and we're seeking the power of God in order to do that. We're seeking power. But this power is never to be used outside of intimacy. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is like a power tool. Any guys know about power tools in here? Let me hear some. Yes. We know about power tools. There are two types of power tools, that, to my knowledge. You've got corded ones, right? And if I plug my power tool into the wall, I can only go so far. I've got to remain close. I've got to remain intimate to that power source. Same thing with the battery power tools. I've got a little battery cordless drill, right? I can only go so long without coming back to the source in order to repower that drill. Power should never be divorced from intimacy. They need to be close together. They need to be a part of what we're seeking. We need to seek first and foremost to be close to God, to be in relationship with God. Jesus paid His life. He paid the price for us to be in relationship with Him. And He desperately wants to be in relationship with you. Not just, yeah, I'm a follower of Christ, but to be here every single moment with you, and so that you know that you know that you know that you know that He is there with you, that He's walking with you, that He's empowering you. That there's no such thing as distance between you and God, because Jesus paid the price to wash that away. But we also need to seek His power, baptism in the Holy Spirit, so that we can carry out His work here and transform this world. That's what we're called to do, to be world transformers. So here's what I want to do. Let me flip a few pages here. Here's the deal. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you haven't. If you want the power to be able to transform the world and you're not sure that you do, then I want us to be able to pray and do that this morning. If you know that you know that you know that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, here's an encouraging note in Acts 4. These people are gathering together. They have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't have the scripture up there, so you'll have to listen. They're praying, and they're being persecuted, and they're facing really difficult times. And they said, "And now, Lord, look upon the threats and grant to Your servants to continue to speak Your word with all boldness, while You stretch out Your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of Your holy servant, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled again with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Some of us just need that this morning. Here's the thing. We all need something this morning from God. Whether we need to be filled afresh with the power of God, or we need to experience it for the first time, we all need that. Chris, could you come? Could we all stand? Let's just take a moment of seeking together and declaring our need. How many of you guys believe that you actually need God? I'm going to actually ask you to raise your hands on this one. How many of you guys actually believe that you need God? Okay. God, we are here raising our hands because we believe and we declare in front of this whole congregation that we need You. We need You, God. We believe that You are able. We believe that You are willing. Oh, Lord, you love us and you want the best things for us. So I pray right now, God, that you'd fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Would you put your hands out as if you're receiving a gift and just believe that God is filling you afresh? He's pouring into you, setting the Holy Spirit upon you, empowering you to be those world transformers. God, we seek you. We seek you, Lord. For those of us who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, who have been empowered by the Spirit, I pray right now that we'd have a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, that we would have a fresh boldness about us to preach the gospel. Lord, and as these men and women in Acts saw radical things, saw miracles happen right before their very eyes, I pray the same for us, God. We are in desperate need. People are being shot right around the corner. And we need your power to transform this place. So fill us, God. Use us. Lord, we thank you for this grace of speaking in tongues. That it's a way of real intimacy with you. That as we have the power tool of baptism in the Holy Spirit, that we can speak in tongues as a form of intimacy with you. As a form of staying close. And God, for those who are truly seeking, who want this gift, who want this grace from you, I pray that you would give it, Lord. Lord, remove all hindrances. We stand here with expectation this morning. Praise you, Lord. If you're someone who wants to receive the gift of tongues or wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are going to have prayer teams up front here, and we would love to pray for you. I will pray for you. We will pray for you. We will pray with you as you seek God. So be world transformers. Go and be world transformers by the power of God. You guys receive it? Amen. All right. Love you guys. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to grab a book over there on your way out, as we'll start that study next week and read part one. And if you want prayer, we are here and we will pray as long as you want to pray, because we believe that prayer changes lives.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.